Good evening. So nice to be with you. My name is Father Joe Freedy, and just thrilled to be here. I've been to the retreat house a few times for the women's retreat, and just totally thrilled to be with you guys, and just to see you ladies, I should say, and to see what the Lord is going to do. I know, even on the plane here, I'm from Pittsburgh, and so it was a nice long flight. You know, I got a lot of time to pray for y'all. And I just sense the Lord is, anytime we give Him our hearts, anytime we set aside time for Him, right, He always does things greater in our minds and hearts than we could ever expect or imagine. So I know He wants to do that. And I just want to say, starting off, I don't, maybe you've been on retreat before, maybe you've been on retreat a thousand times here. This is different. Jesus says this in Revelations 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. I'm absolutely convinced He wants to make us new today. So in this weekend, I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for me, too, to be able to have a chance to just to spend this time here and to pray. I can't believe the sisters invited me back. They called and said, hey, Father Joe, will you come back? And I said, sister, there's so many holier, wiser, more experienced priests you could ask. And sister, without missing a beat, said, I know, Father, we tried so many and they were all busy, so we called you. And I thought, great, thanks you so much, right? And I was so excited to be here. This is hilarious, actually. I got off the plane, I was waiting for the ride to come, you know, whoever was coming to pick me up, and I knew it was going to be an older gentleman, but I wasn't quite sure. This actually happened, right? And so I saw someone pull up right to where I was and wave, and I waved back, and they pointed at me, and I thought, great, you know, so I went right over the car, and I'm all excited. I opened the back door, and I threw my luggage in, and I jumped in the front seat, and I said, hey, I'm Father Joe Freedy from Pittsburgh. And he said, that's great, but I was actually waiting for that lady right there, and not you. So I am excited to be here. So let's pray, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, you are a good Father. You say in the Scriptures that you don't ration your gift of the Holy Spirit. We believe in you and your boundless generosity. We just thank you this night. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. I thank you for the gift that is for me to be here. And Lord, you promise that you always want to do more than we could possibly ask or imagine. You know where each one of us is at. You know exactly what's going on in our minds, our hearts, our souls, our bodies. You know that some of us are tired, some of us are excited, some of us are nervous. You know the burdens that are being carried here. Jesus, thank you for speaking that we should come to you who labor and are heavy burdened so that you can give us rest. We thank you for this time of just resting with you. Please grant us the grace to just let you love us like you've always done and you've always wanted to do. Lord, that our hearts might be transformed by your love this weekend, that we can just let go of the walls, let go of the barriers that we keep putting up in front of your love, and just allow you to actually touch us this weekend, to love us. Mother Mary, we always consecrate ourselves to you, especially under your title as Our Lady of Mount Carmel this weekend, that you would bless all of our dispositions, that we might fully receive all that your Son Jesus desires to place in us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what I'm going to do tonight is try not to talk for too long. I just want to kind of help us to enter into the retreat, and then I'm going to lead a meditation and just inviting the Lord to begin to come into our hearts. And then at the end of that, I'll pray and I'll give maybe a few scripture recommendations for you. So the biggest thing, ladies, that we want to do at the beginning of this retreat is just relax. Okay? Just take a deep breath, really, right now. Just take a deep breath. I think like three of you took a deep breath. Why don't we all take a deep breath, okay? Just, you just want to begin to relax. You just want to begin to relax. We're all flying around in our lives, aren't we? We're all so busy, so overwhelmed. This is a time where we just want to come and relax our hearts. You want to just even now allow your heart to begin to... He's inviting you into deep rest. Jesus has said to you, I just want to be with you this weekend. I just want to, would you come away with me? Just let me be with you. Let me love you. We want to begin to let go, right? This frenetic pace of life that we all live. Flying around all the time. Everybody's busy, right? It's the number one answer that people give when you ask them, how you doing? How are you? Busy, busy. My mom doesn't work. She's busy. My dad does work. He's busy. All my buddies with white-collar jobs, they're busy. All my buddies with blue-collar jobs are busy. My sister who doesn't have kids is busy. My brother who has kids is busy. The worst is when you ask people who are retired, how's retirement? What do they say? Never been busier, right? I'm like, why? We're busy because we're afraid. We're afraid if we slow down, for quiet, we might have to face the things that are in our hearts. And I don't know if this God is going to show up. He's going to show up. So this weekend is not about being busy. So I just want you to let go, to begin to let go of your worries about what this weekend's going to be like, about what's going to happen, about how long this priest is going to talk for tonight. Right? Your anxieties, you want to let those go tonight. This weekend, I would say, and it's not a time of intercession. This weekend isn't about you praying that your kids will come back to church. It's not. That's fine. That's the Lord knows. We want to even let go of those things. We just want to be with the Lord. Amen? Let's just be with him. He knows the petitions. He knows the situation with your husbands. He knows the situations with your children who aren't going to church. We've given those all to him. You guys are like, you're telling my life right now, Father Joe. Let those go this weekend. The best thing you can do for your kids, for your husband, for your grandchildren, for everyone else, for your parishes, is to enter into this retreat. Deeply. Not a time to solve problems this weekend, right? Not a time to really try and get him to fix that thing in your life that you've wanted fixed for so long, right? This is a time of just being with the Lord. I remember when I was a newly ordained priest, I was totally burnt out, exhausted, and every time I was going into prayer, I was trying to impress God or to do something or make something happen or... You know, and I was burnt out. And I was like, I can't believe it. I've heard about this priestly burnout thing, and I'm burnt out. And I'm like 3 months in, you know. And I just collapsed in front of the Blessed Sacrament because I couldn't even say anything. I was just so tired. And I heard the Lord say this, Joe, let me minister to you. Joe, why don't you let me minister to you? So this weekend, this isn't your time to impress him with any holy thoughts. This isn't your time to like double down on I don't know, devotion. That's all these things are great. We're going to be praying the rosary. We're going to be doing all the breviary prayers. That's all great. This is the time to let him minister to you. Okay? Okay, give me a head nod. Great. There's a few temptations before the meditation that I always like to bring up when I begin retreats. A few temptations that you might experience. Maybe you don't experience any of them. Maybe you experience all of them. Maybe you'll experience all of them in the first night. But the first temptation that I always find comes on retreat is that I ask, what am I doing here? I should be somewhere else. I didn't get done what I needed to get done before I got here. What am I doing here? This is a waste. What am I doing here? Right? Trust in the providence of God that brought you here. Trust in the providence of God that he brought you here at this time, right now. Okay? So we don't want to start to go to that place. What am I doing here? You're here, and the Lord desires you to be here. The second temptation is we can begin to like wish our time away, you know? Begin to wish our time away and, you know, okay, I hope it goes faster. This is such a beautiful time, right? Such a time that we never get to have. So just be here. So I would say this, say yes to the whole time. Say yes, especially the times when you don't want to be here, especially the times when you want to begin to run, especially the times that you want to begin to distract yourself. Just say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I surrender to being here. You can be on this retreat and not be on this retreat. Does that make sense? You can be here and not be here. So in the yes and the surrender, be here. Just fully be here. Be present here. And the last thing is that I always find is I start grasping for graces, you know, like that healing that I've always wanted, you know. And I start looking at my watch and I'm like, oh, it's 8:30. I'm not totally transformed yet. What's happening, right? Yeah. And so I start to grasp and I grasp and I try and get just let go. Totally let go, okay? He's going to give what he desires when he desires. So just to kind of set the tone as I enter into this meditation, and I love this story, and I tell it often on retreat, so if I've ever been on a retreat with you before, you probably know it, but a friend of mine grew up really, really poor in the city of Pittsburgh, and they were so poor that she said a lot of times when it would get real cold in the winter, Pittsburgh gets really cold, it was like 10 degrees when I left, I was like, California, and I got here and it's freezing. And I said to my friends when I was leaving, it's only going to be like 60. And none of them felt bad for me, you know? And she said, often they'd sleep in the kitchen with the oven open so the heat would come out. And she said they were so poor growing up that she didn't have a dress as a young girl. And apparently a dress is a big deal for you women, right? And she never had a dress like all of her little friends did. And she said, unbeknownst to her, her dad, who I think was delivering newspapers, had saved a bunch of money and given the money to her mom. And her mom had went out and bought the material that she needed and sewed her a dress. And, you know, she was like 7 years old or something. And it was like a Tuesday morning, a random morning, that she was in her bedroom and she's like getting up for school, you know, and her mom brought in this dress and gave it to her. You can imagine, she was just a dress. You know, she was so excited. And she put on the dress and she's looking in the mirror and her mom. And she said, but the one thing she wanted to do was to show her dad who was downstairs. And her mom knew it. And she was so excited. I just want to show my dad. And so her mom said, go, honey. And my friend said she was running down the stairs and her dad was at the coffee table where he always was before he left for work, drinking his coffee, reading the newspaper. And he turned and he saw her getting to the bottom of the stairs and running over to him. And he held out his hands. And he said, oh, honey, just stop. Just stand there and let me look at you. And she did. And she said, she told me this story a while ago, even at 35 years old, she still remembers the 30 years ago, her father, with tears streaming down his face, just marveling at the beauty of his little girl. What God wants to do for you this weekend is to look at you and let you see him marveling at the beauty that you are to him. That's who you are. Beautiful little girls. I know some of you are old. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. You're still his little girl. You are his little girl. He's saying to you this weekend, you just stand there and let me look at you. So don't move. Don't try and get away. Don't run from the gaze. Stay in the gaze and let your Father look at you. So I'm going to lead you in a meditation now from the Gospel of Mark. And if you fall asleep, that's totally okay. Sister said you guys were falling asleep at orientation, right? St. Therese said sometimes the doctor has to put the patient to sleep to do his work, you know? I used to use that as an excuse all the time in the seminary. Just relax. And so I'll read the scripture verse and then I'll lead you through the meditation, okay? I usually pray better and enter into meditations better with my eyes closed. This is from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole town was gathered at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit them to speak because they knew him. I love the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's only 16 chapters, and so it's just kind of action-packed, right? Event after event, miracle after miracle, teaching after teaching. And the little passage I read is from the first chapter of Mark, and Jesus has already been baptized, right? And the heavens are torn open, it says, and the voice of the Father is heard, "You are my beloved." And then the Spirit leads him out into the desert for his temptation, and he spends the 40 days in fasting and prayer, and then he comes back, and he begins to call his disciples, right? These amazing scenes of Jesus calling, "Follow me," and they follow him, "Follow me," and they follow him. And then he goes into the synagogue, right? And that's where we pick up. And he performs an exorcism. And then he leaves the synagogue and he goes down to Simon Peter's house of Peter and Andrew. And Simon's Peter house was close by. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever been there, they've done excavations. And so Peter's house is literally on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful, beautiful setting. You can imagine, right? Jesus walks in and Peter leads the way, and Peter takes him to his mother-in-law. And there's this beautiful image of all of salvation history. Jesus approaches Peter's mother-in-law, and imagine him reaching out his hand, this strong carpenter's hand, and lifts her up, right? Raises her up. And this is the part I really want to stay with for a few minutes. It says, when it was evening, after sunset, they brought all those who were ill or possessed. And it says that the whole town was gathered at the door. I just want you to imagine that scene. I love the evening. When I was coming in from the airport, the sun was just coating the mountains in this pink and purple haze. There's something about the evening when everything just begins to calm down. Imagine the Sea of Galilee. Calm. The sun beginning to set over the lake, kind of glistening off the hills. In the background, the Sea of Galilee is kind of set in amidst these hills. And imagine Jesus and Peter and Andrew and John in the house. People are beginning to gather at the door. And it says the whole town, so there would have been, I don't know, a few hundred people there. Just imagine yourself there. Maybe you brought someone, you brought a friend. Maybe your friend is blind, or and you're sitting there waiting with everyone else, and you're looking at the doorway, and you've heard about this Jesus, this healer. He's done miracles before. He's healed other people before. And so there's this kind of silence, but everybody's just hoping, like beyond hope, that he can do the same thing tonight that you've heard him do. So everybody's just kind of taking deep breaths and looking at the doorway, waiting for him. And then you see a man pull back the cloth that would have covered the doorway. And you recognize him. It's Andrew, and he pulls back the cloth, and he comes out, and he kind of stands on the stoop in front of the house, and you see John follow him. And you see someone you're really familiar with. He's got the fishing business, Peter. He pulls back the cloak, and he stands on the stoop, and he's holding the cloth back. And then you see Jesus come in the doorway. It's the first time that you've ever seen him, and he looks like so many of the men in Galilee, but there's just something so different about him. Just penetrating eyes, compassion. Just so loving. It's almost like you can hear his heart beating. It's almost like you can see the desire in his heart to heal. You're not sure why, but as you look at Jesus, your eyes begin to fill up with tears, and although you're really there for your friend, your own heart is beginning to cry out and long for him. You don't voice it, but your own heart is saying, I need you. I need you, Jesus. Come to me. And you watch as he steps down from the stoop, and he begins to walk among the crowd. And you see him bending over and placing his hands on people's ears, and they can hear. It's just moving from one person to another slowly, and he's healing people. Is this really happening? Some people are crying. Some people are rejoicing. Some people are just silent. Jesus is just making his way through the crowd with his apostles. He begins to come closer to where you're seated with your friend. And the excitement's growing, and your heart even begins to beat a little bit stronger. Your friend is asking you what's happening, because they're blind, they can't see, and you're just kind of stunned, but you're holding them, kneeling next to them, and saying that he's coming, he's very close. He's just a few people away, and then he's right next to you, healing someone, and then he comes in front of your friend, and he kneels down on one knee in front of your friend, and you're holding your friend, and your friend knows he's there, and he stretches out his hands, he places his hands on your friend's eyes. He closes his own eyes for a second, a brief second, and removes his hands. And you watch your friend begin to blink, and your friend can see. And then, still in front of your friend, he looks at you. And he just steps over. And now he kneels right in front of you. And your eyes fill up again with tears. And through your tears you see his eyes. Just look into his eyes. Just these deep wells of love. You have never seen anyone look at you with the love that he is looking at you with right now. Almost like he has known you your whole life. You know that he knows you, and that he understands you, and that he accepts you. And he reaches his hands out and just grasps you, places his hands on your cheeks. He can tell that you just want, you need to be loved and held by him. And so he just pulls you forward. And just like a father would, he lays your head on his chest and he just wraps you in his arms. Just wraps you in his arms, and you know he doesn't want to go anywhere. He will stay with you as long as you need. He has come this night specifically for you. And he lets you cry out the hurt that's in your heart, the loneliness that you've felt, all the fears that are in your heart begin to come out in tears that grow bigger and bigger, and the burdens that you've carried and the suffering that you've gone through. And he just holds you tighter.
just holds you tighter and receives it all. Just stay with him in that embrace for a minute. Just let the Lord hold you. You're loved in his arms. You're safe. There's no threats around you. Just hear the beating of his heart with every beat saying, I love you. I'm so proud of you. So, Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that so many times in the scriptures you bid us to come to you so that you can hold us and comfort us, bring healing to our hearts and rest to our wearied souls. Grant us the grace, Lord Jesus, just to stay in your embrace, to allow your love to slowly seep into our hearts, especially into our wounds, into our hurts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just want to give you three scripture passages if you want to pray over them. No pressure at all. I just give these because some people like to have some scripture verses at the end of each conference. So if you're not one of those people, don't worry about it. But here's the ones that I really think are powerful at the beginning of any retreat. Psalm 139. And that's the psalm that begins, O God, you search me and you know me. Ladies, this whole retreat, I'm going to be talking about one thing. How much God loves you. Because that's the only thing. So that's what you're going to get at every talk. Because that's really all I know how to say. The second is Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. God says, I know well the plans I have for you. And the last one is just one of my all-time favorites. It's Isaiah 43, 1 to 7. I'm so happy to be with you. I really am. So happy to be with you and so grateful. I know that your hearts are already opened to the Lord. So it's going to be some great rejoicing on this retreat because I know the Lord's, I just sense he's going to do a lot of healing and restoring of hope to your hearts and to my heart.